The portion of scripture that is before us is often referenced because of a phrase that's quoted from verse number 5 at the end of the verse when Jesus said, "For without me ye can do nothing." And certainly that statement of scripture is worthy of our attention and worthy of preaching and messages that have focused in on those particular words and how important they are. This evening, however, I want to look at the greater context and look at these 8 verses. So begin reading with me in John 15 in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "I am the true vine." So Jesus is speaking. And of course, he's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. And in these chapters here in the midst of the book of John, Jesus is providing instruction that would be so important and so valuable for the disciples. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." As we look at this portion of Scripture from verse number 1, I've simply entitled the message this evening, "The Husbandman Purgeth." The husbandman purgeth. Again, the reference in verse number 5 is quite familiar and one that most of us have heard perhaps many times in our Christian life. But it's interesting, as you examine the text of Scripture, immediately we discover a truth that God wants His people to understand. Of course, as you look here in these verses of Scripture, there are many truths that are of great importance, but I want to draw your attention to one particular truth that we see here in the text of Scripture, maybe one that we've at times overlooked and one that is so important for us to grasp and understand. According to verse number 5, the Bible says, "I am the vine." Notice this phrase, "ye are the branches." And so who is he talking to? We know the word "ye" is plural, and so we know that he says in verse number 2, "every branch in me." And so he's talking about believers. They were not called Christians yet in John chapter number 15. We find that oftentimes they'd be referred to as disciples. And you think about this idea of being a follower of Jesus Christ and those that have been saved and born again, followers of Christ. If we could look at it this evening when it talks about every branch in me, and we begin to think and understand about the fact that we are in Christ and what a blessing that the Holy Spirit of God is within us and we have been sealed unto the day of redemption. And so we find this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in verse number 1, "I am the true vine," and then in verse number 5, "I am the vine," but he says, "ye are the branches." So it's important for us to understand who we are, that we're the branches. But then I want you to notice specifically in verse number 2 that there's a phrase that's repeated twice. And it's this phrase, "every branch, every branch." Now, I want you to understand that every branch means every branch. There's no exception. It means every branch. And notice in verse number 2, there's two particular categories. It says in verse number 2, "every branch in me," notice what it says, "that beareth not fruit." He, who's the he? Well, that's the husbandman, that's the Father. "He taketh away." The Bible continues in verse number 2, "and every branch," again you see that phrase, "every branch that beareth fruit," he, who's the he? Well, that's the husbandman, that's the Father. "He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." The truth that we find as we compare verse 2 and verse number 5, as we've looked at these statements and these words and understand them, that we would conclude this evening that I am a branch, and as a branch, I am to bear fruit. As a branch, I am to bear fruit. You are a branch if you're saved this evening. He is the vine, but ye are the branches. And we, as the branches, according to the truth of verse number 2, and as you go through the text, it is God's plan and God's design that the branch produces, bears fruit. We understand that the branch cannot produce the fruit on its own. It bears the fruit, and he is the vine. And yet we find that in the context, the Bible would teach us that as a branch, I am to bear fruit, but as I'm bearing fruit, my Father, your Father, our Father, the husbandman, he will purge so that I can bring forth more fruit. And that's why we deal with this subject, the husbandman purgeth. Notice with me, if you're taking notes this evening, just two thoughts. Number one, the process. The process. It's interesting that God would use throughout the scriptures. We understand the Lord Jesus Christ is a master teacher. Oftentimes he would use parables, and oftentimes he would use analogies, things that were practical that people could understand, and they could take the spiritual lesson that Jesus was giving them, and they could understand it through the analogies that he would use. And here, obviously, dealing with husbandry and dealing with the branches and the vine and that whole process, and he uses that phrase in verse number 2 of purging. The word purgeth in verse number 2, it carries with it the idea of to cleanse, but then we see that it has this idea to prune trees and vines. Notice this, from useless shoots, from useless shoots. And begin to think about this idea of pruning trees and vines, and obviously the idea of the keeper of the vineyard, the keeper of the crop, they desire to have the greatest yield that they could possibly have. Therefore, the process is important that we would understand the process of purging or pruning, and we'd understand this evening that the lessons that we can learn from the agricultural implications in this text of Scripture are so important to us as the people of God. Jesus used the illustration on purpose, the analogy on purpose, and it helps us to be able to relate to it. And so I want you to think this evening, when we think about the process, it begins by evaluating and identifying. Evaluating and identifying. The Lord knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And he alone can identify what needs to be addressed. I think about the one that would be fulfilling this role, the individual at a vineyard or at some other property, and they would have this responsibility. They would first go out. Listen, they don't just go out and start just chopping things. They first evaluate. And they identify, and it's a careful process. It's a process that is with purpose and intentional. And we find this evening that our husbandman, the Father, that he evaluates our lives. He knows us. He identifies in our lives, again, to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. And we begin to understand that process of evaluation and identification, and that he alone is able to do that. Then we find that the next step would be to eliminate competing branches. You know, there's oftentimes the reality in life that we can become divided. We can have allegiances and be divided. And sometimes you've even heard people say, I'm just one person. I can't be in all these different places at the same time. I can't do all of these things at the same time. And there are times in which I'll joke about different hats that I have that I'll put on. And someone let me know about a toilet that was clogged up. And I said, I'd put my plumber hat on. And somebody let me know about an HVAC vent that needed to be replaced. And I'll put that, like, and I get it. And it's part of life. And it's what we do. But we begin to think about this idea of competing branches, because that's what the husbandman would do. He would evaluate and identify and then eliminate competing branches. When I continue or when I meditate upon that thought, it brought me directly to Hebrews chapter number 12. Look there, if you will, quickly this evening, and just begin to meditate on this process this week as I was looking over this portion of Scripture. And thinking about this process of purging, of pruning, in Hebrews chapter number 12, we are familiar again with this text of Scripture. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Notice what the Bible says. "Let us lay aside every," what does the Bible say? "Weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." As we're going to think about this idea of evaluating and identifying, but then eliminating competing branches, I believe that as we look at Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, there's obviously a distinction between a weight and a sin. If there were no distinction, he wouldn't have put the two phrases. And because there's a distinction, because he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And so a weight is not sin. Now, we understand what sin is. It's pretty easy for us to identify what sin is. It's a violation of God's law. It's when we miss the mark. And we understand we've all sinned. And that's the truth of God's word. And as even we said this morning, if we say that we have no sin, then his truth is not in us and we make God a liar. And so we understand the truth of sin, but sometimes we don't fully comprehend that idea when he says the weight. The weight, and really it's a burden or a cumbrance, something that can cause us to have divided attention, something that can distract us from the primary purpose of life. And begin to think about the idea again of this process in John chapter number 15. The husbandman purgeth. He said in verse number 2 of our text of Scripture, when we deal with this subject of purging, and again, every branch, and it's used there, he says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." You understand if you begin to think about this process, and again, I'm not an expert at this, but there will be some competing branches that will take away from the yield of the particular tree that the husbandman has to eliminate. And we begin to think about this, and listen, we can think about this in a negative sense. It's not negative, it's actually positive. We ought to welcome the process in our life, and we'll deal with that in just a few moments. But we see here again this phrase, "every branch." So I wonder this evening, have we experienced the process? Have we been able to identify times in our lives when the Lord, the God of glory, the husbandman, the Father, is purging? When he's purging, have we experienced the process? We understand in the beginning of the text, it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Now, I don't want to be in that category. Amen? I don't want to be in that category. Listen, if we're not doing what God's called, now he's long-suffering, he's gracious, he's merciful, to God be the glory for all of those wonderful things, but if we're not doing what he's called us to do and what he's left us to do, then he'll take us to glory. The Bible says in verse number 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And I don't believe in the context here that would be talking about damnation. I don't believe that's talking about hell in that sense. I think we can compare Scripture with Scripture, and we can understand at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the fact that they'll be tried by fire, the things that are wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned up. And we see here that as we look at this text of Scripture and we consider the process, and again, I'm hoping that each of us could be in that category where we're one of the branches, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." Why? "That it may bring forth more fruit." And that process of purging, I want you to understand this evening that the husbandman, the vine dresser, the one that would do this work, the one that they could relate to, that they would understand the analogy that's being used, that they had tools that they would use. In fact, oftentimes with their tools, they would want to make sure that those tools were very sharp. Not only would they want to make sure that those tools were sharp, but often, as I did some studying this week, I discovered that as they would prune, as they would purge, as they would go through that process, they would clean their tools so that there were not diseases that were spread from one tree or one vine to another. You begin to think about that process again, something that we today have to do some research about, to learn some things about, but many here during this era of time, as Jesus would use this, they were familiar with these things. And I want you to see this evening that the tool that is used is the perfect, preserved, powerful Word of God. I'm thankful this evening the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword in Hebrews chapter number 4. And begin to think about the way that God uses His Word in this process of purging. And again, to evaluate and identify, and God will take and He'll use Scripture and through the preaching of the Word of God, through the man of God, through the time in which you read your Bible and your personal devotions, and God will use His Word, and He's seeking to use the powerful, sharp Word of God to eliminate those competing branches. You say, I just can't do this anymore. Why? Holier than thou. No, I just don't have the ability to have that competing branch in my life. Does that make sense? Because I'm most concerned about what His desire is for me, and I'm most concerned. I only have so much energy to give. I only have so many resources. Listen, time is a resource. Time is a resource. I shared with somebody recently, Brother Cottle, as he was here for our missions conference, the truth of 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, and the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Listen, our time is a resource, and we can't just exhaust our time in any old fashion and then say, well, I have no time to be able to do what the Master has called me to do. And so there's some purging, and He uses the Word of God. Notice in verse number 3, He makes clear that He uses the Word of God. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Praise God for the spoken Word, but I'm so thankful to have the written Word of God, that we have it in one. Listen, there were times in which Jesus spoke here on earth, and people didn't hear Him speak because they weren't there. But we have the written Word of God, and it's available for us. And every word of God is pure, and every single word that He wants us to have is here contained in this Bible. And I'm so thankful this evening to have a Bible. And we find that He talks about this process and the cleansing. Again, the word purgeth means to cleanse, and also means to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. And so I think of this verse, and then look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. And notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and providing them with instruction with regard really to relationships, if you will, and how vital that we understand the relationships that we have in life and the process that God has given to us with regard to how those relationships are to be formed and to function, etc. And we find that even as we said last week on Father's Day, listen, God established the home. Not only has God established the home, but God has given instruction for the home. And here in Ephesians 5, you begin to see some of that instruction beginning in verse 22, but I want you to see how that the Lord uses and goes back to this truth that we're speaking of with regard to the use of the tool of the Word of God. In verse number 25, He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it." Notice what it says, "with the washing of water by the Word." And I'm thankful to have the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the truth of the power of God's Word and the way in which God's Word works in our lives. It's amazing to me that you can read the Word of God, and God can take that Word and He can use it to comfort us, and He can use it to convict us, and He can use it to change us. And oftentimes He'll do all three of those things at the very same time, and sometimes even from the very same passage. And it's amazing how God uses His Word. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, you don't need to turn there, but we read about the Word of the Word of God, that the law of the Lord is perfect, and we read all of these wonderful things that the psalmist mentions about the Word in Psalm 19. But then he says this, in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Notice verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I'm thankful for the process. Now understand, the process has a purpose. So we see number one, the process, but we see number two, the purpose. What is the purpose? We see here in verse number two very plainly that the Bible says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to understand this evening what the purpose is not before we deal with what the purpose is. Understand this evening that purging is not punishment. Purging is not punishment. If you're not careful, you can get that confused. You can get the purging and the chastisement confused. See, the Bible does teach us that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And there's the truth of chastisement. We ought to appreciate chastisement. We ought to appreciate the fact that the Lord loves us enough to correct us, and it proves that we belong to him. And we could look at Hebrews, and we could look at Proverbs 3, and we could see the truth of chastisement. In fact, even in the portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 that we'll read briefly this evening with regard to the Lord's Supper, we understand the truth of judgment and chastisement. Many are sick and many have slept, they've died, the chastening of the Lord. But when we think about purging, as we look here in this idea, in this principle that God gives us in John 15, purging is not punishment. Purging is not punishment. Purging is to maintain health and productivity. That's the purpose, to maintain health and productivity. Listen, if you go to some of these orchards, if you go to some of these vineyards and they're not maintained, if they're not kept, they don't produce like they could. They don't have the health that they should. But when you find someone that cares enough about the orchard, you find someone that cares enough about the vineyard, you have someone that has enough knowledge and they go through the process, they're purging, they're seeking to eliminate those competing branches. Why? For the health and for the productivity. And so we begin to understand this, and we'd understand this evening that strategic pruning actually encourages growth and increases yield. I remember the very first time years ago I ever cut back our crepe myrtles. Some of you guys came to church and said, "Pastor's crazy, he doesn't know what he's doing." I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to that stuff. But there's this thing called the internet, and I did a bunch of research, and I don't believe everything that you read on the internet, so I looked at various places to figure out what the process was for cutting those things back, and I did. And you know what was amazing is the next time, man, they came back beautiful. I mean, more buds on those things, and I mean, just absolutely beautiful. But when you look at them after you cut them back, you think, you killed it. No, I didn't kill it. Because the purpose, we talked about the process, but the purpose, again, strategic pruning encourages growth. It increases the yield. We find that it's to maintain health and productivity. It is not punishment, and we must understand that. We look here in the Scriptures again with this truth with regard to purging. Again, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? That it may bring forth, and then notice those words, more fruit. If you look through the text, you'll see in verse number 2 that it says fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit. Do you see it there? And then later on in the verse it says more fruit. And then you find in verse number 5 it says the same bringeth forth. Do you see what it says? Much fruit. And then as you continue looking here, you find in verse number 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Again, the idea, as we understand in the text of Scripture, in verse number 4, the Lord Jesus Christ plainly teaches the disciples and teaches us by way of preservation the importance of abiding. He says, "Abide in me," in verse 4, "and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Now, that's pretty simple for us to understand. You separate a branch from the vine and it dies. In fact, with these crepe myrtles out here just this year, we had some rogue branches that were trying to grow, right? They're trying to, and they were all over out front and trying to grow. And I said, I did this a couple of years ago, and we said, man, we want to try to replant these, and we're going to try real hard. And so I told Holly, just be patient and wait, and I'm going to let them get big, and I'm going to let them grow some more. And man, they finally got to the point where I thought they could sustain it. And I moved all the mulch, and I moved the blocks, and I got a shovel, and I went down as far as I could. And man, I got those things and I replanted them and I got some good soil and I put it in the soil. And you know what those things did? Dead as dead. I mean, no life whatsoever. Am I telling the truth? They're in the garden right now. It looks horrible. They're in a bucket out in the garden. I mean, it just needs to be thrown away. I was kind of holding out, see if they'd bring some life. No life. Zero. So he tells us, abide in me. Verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing. Listen, I can't produce fruit on my own, and neither can you. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit that He produces in you as you walk in the Spirit. And we find here, we talk about this idea of fruit, and he says we understand the truth in 1 Corinthians that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. I can't produce fruit. But as I'm abiding in Him, as I understand I'm a branch, and the branch is to bring forth fruit, and I'm abiding in Him, and the Father is purging, He's doing His work, and the Lord is providing that sustenance and that life, and we find that as we go through that process and we abide, He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen, I want to bear much fruit. I don't want to be in the category of beareth not fruit. That'd be a bad category to be in. But I understand the category of every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. And there's a purpose. We look at the process, we see the purpose. As we begin to understand the purpose, here's the amazing thing. God wants to do something in you, and God wants to do something in me for His glory. It says in verse number 8, extremely plain, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Not only will it bring glory to God, we understand that it's for His glory first and foremost, but we understand in verse number 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Listen, I've said this before. The most miserable person on planet Earth is not a lost person. They're not. You can find some happy lost people. You know who the most miserable person on Earth is? The Christian that is not walking with God. Most miserable person on Earth. The Christian who is not walking with God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's working and convicting and using the Word of God, and they're just quenching and they're just grieving and they're miserable. I'm just telling you the truth. If you walk with the Lord long enough, you'll see it. Maybe you'll experience it. You'll understand it. And we find here that in John chapter 15, that work, He wants to do a work in you so that He'd be glorified, so that our joy would be full. But I want you to understand this evening that though He is the husbandman and though He knows exactly what needs to take place, He evaluates and He identifies and He uses His Word. The Holy Spirit is active in using the powerful Word of God, and He desires to eliminate those competing branches. I want you to understand something vital this evening. He doesn't force it. He doesn't force it. He made us as human beings with the ability to obey and disobey. He's given to us a free will. He's given to us a free will. He can take and He can give us the Scriptures. He can provide us with all the instruction. The Holy Spirit can convict us. But listen, the Bible says that we're to grieve not the Spirit. And the Bible says that we're to quench not the Spirit. And so that reveals to me, and it should reveal to each of us, that though God is working, and though He's using His Word, and though the Spirit is working, we can quench and grieve the Spirit. No, we ought not. We ought to have that perspective that it's best for us to let Him have His way with us. He knows what's best. And that process of purging, it should be a welcomed process in our lives. Because we understand this evening that it's not punishment. It's for our good and it's for God's glory. It's so that the one that's producing fruit can bring forth more fruit and eventually bring forth much fruit. Again, it's not about anything that we've done except simply abiding in Him and simply submitting to Him and simply yielding to Him. And as the Holy Spirit of God works in our life through the Word of God, that we simply say, yes, Lord, yes. God, as you move and you work and you say that there's some things that I need to eliminate, it's not so that I can try to be super Christian. It's because I want to be focused upon what you have for me. And those eliminating, those branches, those competing branches, if they're not eliminated, they start taking the nutrients that are designed for those branches that would bring forth the fruit, and all of a sudden the yield decreases. That's what happens. If you look at the vineyard and you look at the orchard, you can understand these principles. And God says to us this evening, in giving us this portion of Scripture, He says, I want you to understand the process. And I want you to understand the purpose. And I go all the way back this evening as we close to the opening truth that He says, ye are the branches. And He says, every branch, notice, in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. By the way, that ought to scare us a little bit. Amen? Put some holy fear in us. Seriously. I focus the message on the latter part of verse 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. As you evaluate your own life, as I evaluate my own life, do you see the husbandman purging? Have you experienced the purging, that process? Has God used His Word in your life through whether it's the public preaching of the Word of God in a church service or whether it's your own personal devotions as you've read the Bible? Has God taken that tool like a surgeon would take a scalpel and just take that tool, that sharp, that Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword, and use that Word in your life to just kind of purge, to prune? Why? For His glory and for our good, so that we might bring forth more fruit. Let's pray. Father, this evening we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the Word of God and for the truth that's contained therein. God, I'm thankful for this process that we see given to us in John 15. God, I'm thankful for the work that You've done in my life. And I think about the truth of Hebrews 12, when we think about those competing branches and we think about that weight which doth so easily beset us. You told us there in Hebrews 12 that we're to lay aside every weight. Lord, I pray that You would help us as we get into Your Word, that Your Word would get into us, and that God, as only You can, that You would evaluate and that You would identify and that You would eliminate those competing branches, that You would help us, Lord, to abide in You so that we could produce more fruit, so that we could bring forth much fruit and glorify our Father. We understand this evening that that's really the only purpose of our lives is to bring honor and glory to Thy name. And God, I pray that You'd help us to be able to examine our own lives. Lord, in just a few moments we'll observe the Lord's Supper, but even as we take these moments to observe and or to consider what we've heard and to evaluate our lives, God, help us to be able to identify, is there any purging that's taken place in my life? How is God working? What is God doing? How is He purging me so that I could bring forth more fruit? Lord, I pray that You'd have Your will and way in the moments of invitation, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would You stand with me?